Hey guys, my name's Brian. Thanks for tuning into Dotcast, is Blue Dot Productions' weekly podcast. And like I said already, my name's Brian.
And this is Josh.
And this week we've got some cool stuff. It's actually, well, it's not this week. It's our first week. First of all, I want to give a quick talk about what is Blue Dot Productions. And we are a YouTube channel featuring Josh and I, and we are going to be a multimedia. We're going to encompass all kinds of multimedia. We're starting out with video games, so we're going to be doing Let's Plays and looking at new games and video game news and a lot of stuff like that. But once we get the equipment, we plan on moving into music production. We're going to be doing stuff with short films, animation, a lot of fun stuff that we're really excited for, and we hope you will be too. To stay up to date on all of our upcoming things, please click up top and subscribe, because it would be awesome. And in 6 months, if not if, when this kicks off and we're, who knows where we will be in 6 months, you'll be one of our first listeners. So to start off, Josh is going to tell us about some Steam stuff that's coming out, some new games that just came out, some games that are coming out. We've got some really cool stuff. The Source Filmmaker, Combat Arms, Microvolts, Endless Space. What else is coming out? Just Portal, not Portal. Oh my goodness. Prototype 2 is coming out on the 24th.
That's a PC-only game, though. Like, it's a PC release that's coming out right now.
Right. I know it's already out on the Xbox.
And PS3.
Yeah. But I'm saying the PC version is coming out. I'm not.
Well, I'm just making sure you know that.
Yeah. Look at this. Bickering already. All right, Josh, tell us about some Steam stuff.
Well, recently Tribes of Ascend came out. That was a free-to-play game. It's been out for a couple months now, I believe. But I've been playing it lately, and I'm quite enjoying it. The graphics are great for a free-to-play game. The action's good, and people aren't really people camp and snipe, but it's not like people run around and in Call of Duty, where they would do like 360 snipes. People are taking this game seriously. We also have the Source Filmmaker, which is you play any game with Source, and you hit record, and it'll record the scene of what you do, but in the filmmaker, you can actually adjust the camera angle to what's happening.
It's basically an idiot-proof machinima creator program.
It sounds like that.
It's going to make it so much easier for people who can't buy fancy software and things like that to make machinima to be coming out. I mean, well, yeah, it's just going to be easier for people to be making machines.
Well, actually, I haven't used it yet because it's a huge download, and I'm currently
it's
downloading
a 10-gigabyte download. That's the only down.
But I've been looking at it, and it seems easy in theory, but it's a lot more difficult than people are saying, or what we think right now, what Brian thinks. Because I've seen people like do tutorials, and it's tons of stuff that you have to do. It's not just go out there, record, change the camera angle.
No. When I was saying easy, I wasn't necessarily saying, like, you have to have skill when it comes to video editing, and you have to know what you're doing. You have to plan out your video games, how you're going to make the moves, and things like that. But I was saying more easy as in it'll make it more widely available because it is a free program. It is the program that Valve uses for their stuff. And since it's a free program, that's what I was saying. Well, more people will be able to access it. Not necessarily saying the content in it is going to be easier to use. I'm just saying more. It'll be
easier. We're going to see more Steam.
Exactly.
Steam-based videos on YouTube.
Right, hopefully see.
The Pyro video, that was incredible, and that was all shot through Team Fortress 2 with the Source Filmmaker.
Right, and there's some really cool machinima out there now, but it's a small group of people that can make machinima. So once this kind of stuff starts coming out and hitting the mainstream, that's going to be really awesome. Yeah. We're going to see some really cool things come out. We also have Microvolts, which was released on July 5th. It's also free-to-play, and this looks cool to me. I think it's just a little... It's not a huge game. It's little. It reminds me... I see it, and I think Quantum Conundrum meets Team Fortress 2 for some reason. That's just what I see. It's a third-person shooter. It's got a cartoon-style graphics, intense, fast-paced gameplay. I don't know. It's just fun. It's just one of those, fun games that you would want to play. It is a first-person shooter, so you can take it as serious as you want. I mean, third-person shooter, sorry. So you can take it as serious as you want. But I just think it's one of those third-person shooters that's, it's got that comic look. It reminds me a lot of Team Fortress 2, but something about it is like Quantum Conundrum. Just, I don't know. I don't know what about it, but looks cool. Yeah, so what else do we have coming out? Recently that came out, Endless Space, that sells for $30 on Steam. This galaxy is ancient, and its first intelligent life was a civilization we call Endless. Long before our eyes gazed upon the stars, they flew between them, though all that remains of this people is what we call dust. Looks really cool. That came out on the 4th. Go America.
Also, I'd like to talk about is there was a Kickstarter campaign that got huge news. In just 7 hours, it raised its full goal of almost $1 million. And in the first day, it made $4 million.
Holy crap.
It was the Oya. It's called Oya.
Oh, yes. Josh was telling me about this. It sounds awesome.
They're basically calling it a new kind of video console. It's Android. It's an Android operating system. It's Ice Cream Sandwich. But it's basically a free to, you can play games. It's only, the console's like $100. It's, you play games that are available on the Android market right now. And the controller Wi-Fi is really unique. It's has actually a 4-inch touchscreen. That's what I've been hearing about from.
So it's kind of like the Wii U.
Almost, but it's not. The controller actually is a controller. It's more, it's shaped more like a PS3 Xbox style controller with.
So like an Xbox controller, and where the home screen, where the home button is, you have it's elongated with a touchscreen.
Like a little Android phone.
That's cool. With a controller, that's cool.
Which I think it's about.
It's about time something like that came out, because I don't know why they haven't incorporated that into their designs yet.
I'm looking at my iPhone, right? I'm holding it in my hands like I would a controller with like all the buttons. And yeah, it wouldn't be much bigger than a normal controller. Like, if they had an iPhone-sized screen.
Right. Just, I mean, like,
you could play
3-4-inch screen. It would be perfect for just adding that little extra bit. Like with, what is it, Zombies U that's coming out for the Wii U? Yeah. You're going to be able to use that touchscreen to edit your inventory. And you can, so you're not opening up a menu on the screen. You're still there, live in the gameplay, quickly switching back and forth between your items. Because that's what it, if you were in that situation in real life, you wouldn't like pause the game. You wouldn't be like, "Oh, everyone, stop trying to attack me. I'm changing out my weapon. Hold on. Okay, thank you. All right, let's continue." I think that's a really cool feature that's going to be added, and I think we're going to see that in a lot of new games, especially with this coming out. What is it, the Oya. You want to spell that for us, Josh?
O U Y A.
All right, so check out that Kickstarter.
But there's here's another big news that I read. It was Mojang, the company that created Minecraft, has actually taken an interest in this. So we're possibly going to see a Minecraft for that. That's not like the Android or iPhone Minecraft.
Oh, maybe, God. That's not Minecraft. That's not Minecraft. That is.
It's like the creative mode. It's nothing real to it, but.
Yeah,
we'll see. Yeah. Well, it's got a nut. Big enough processor and graphics card that it can handle a PC Minecraft. So we will probably see maybe towards like the Xbox side of the Minecraft game, because it doesn't take up that much processing power. But
with the Xbox, they didn't take Minecraft and dumb it down for the Xbox. What they did is they actually just started. The Xbox is 1.6, I want to say, and
it's just a few levels behind it.
Because when they started the Xbox version, that's what they were at, and now they're working on updating it. And I guess the plan is to eventually align the two. The one thing that I'm worried about that is I would not want to see one be delayed because of the other.
Yeah.
So.
Because I feel like the Xbox would delay the PC version.
Exactly.
Eventually.
Because actually they're running into. Well, they're not running into issues, but they're having. It's taking a lot of work for them because they're. It's just so different taking those PC features and moving them onto an Xbox console. We've seen one update so far, which gave us XYZ coordinates on your maps, and a couple little things, which is definitely a plus. But I was reading that I guess the next big update, where we're going to start seeing the stuff that's really prevalent in the PC version that we all really enjoy, is actually going to take quite a lot of work, just because those portions of the game just are going to be, it's almost going to be like completely sitting down, and it's not just changing the code. It's going to be like, it's going to be sitting down. Anyone who's a programmer will understand what I'm saying. But when you first go to write a program, you have to sit down, you have to plan it out, and you have to go, okay, this is going to do this, and it's going to work like this and work like this. I have experience with Java. Josh has got experience with C++. So things like that. And sometimes when you're switching to a different program, you can just kind of translate it over, like you're translating Spanish to English or something. That was a horrible example. I shouldn't have said that. But I guess the problem with this is, since it's an Xbox, which is a console, and a PC, So that's I guess where they're running into some of the big issues with copying over. But that's some Minecraft news. We've got, what else? Darksiders 2 is coming out August 14th. That looks pretty cool. It's available for pre-order.
Well, I'd like to finish talking about the Ouya. Like,
oh, right. Sorry, I just completely cut him off. I was like, nope, Josh, Minecraft time.
The Minecraft, like, what I'm hoping for with the touchscreen on the controller, you'd have your whole inventory right there, ready access, so you can just go like, oh, I need my pickaxe.
That would be awesome.
You can access your whole inventory, which I'd prefer that over the just like, all right, I have to click a button. There's my inventory on my screen. All right. Well, now I have my inventory just on the controller, so I don't even have to look at... I can look at the screen to open the menu, but I don't. It's not a necessity to open it. I can just look at the controller real quick, tap, or if I know where it is, just tap it while looking at the screen.
Right, and I think that's... I mean, just things like that. That's huge.
But
I see video games coming out soon. I see upcoming. I see things like this, and I'm starting to see video games be more real life-ish, kind of. Just having a... what's the word? Just being able to work and do things faster.
I don't know. Well, yeah, I was talking about, this thing is made for big AAA developers, but also it's helping the like individual people like you and me create games in our rooms that will go out to everyone over the Android market and people who own Ouyas and be able to play them, free to play or in-game purchases or whatever. But the thing is, that I think is amazing, because it's hard for a person like you and me to come up with an idea. Well, the idea part's easy, but like creating it with an engine.
Right, right.
And then
getting
it onto Xbox Live or PSN Marketplace.
Right. And the Android Marketplace and apps have allowed a lot of smaller developers to get their content out there. The guys that, I mean, you can just look at some of the huge apps that games that people love and have logged ungodly amount of hours into. Of course, us gamers have done it on our Xboxes and PS3s too, so we shouldn't be complaining. But overnight, these little companies are releasing a couple games. A couple friends are spending 3 or 4 nights designing a simple game and Doodle Jump. Yeah. The you can't tell me that the programming for Doodle Jump is all that complicated.
Well, we don't know. Honestly, we haven't taken apart Doodle Jump to figure it out. There might be parts of the physics in the game's code that are actually complex.
That's true.
We would have to look at the source code to figure out how it works.
But my point is, we have apps, and that's kind of like, oh yeah, it's the fun games, but it's not, you're not hitting that gamer edge. You're not hitting the big Microsoft, Sony fanboys. You're not hitting the COD players and the Halo players. You're hitting the guys that want to kick time when they're waiting for the bus, or are stuck before a meeting, or stuck at the doctor's office and want to throw away 10, 20 minutes before they go in.
Yeah, but the thing is with the Ouya, it's TV-based. It's, yes, you can play it. There's a touchscreen on it, so you can play smaller, like Temple Run or something.
Well, right,
like
but what I'm saying is the Ouya is bringing, it's allowing those developers who used to only really be able to create apps, now they're able to create console games much easier.
So,
well, not easier, but they're getting them out there much easier.
Yeah. So we'll see like games like Modern Combat. That's a fun game. I play that on my phone. but we'll play it with a controller. With a controller, and it'll be so much easier playing on the big screen, like a Call of Duty game or a Halo, almost.
It's going to be all... It sounds awesome. Josh was actually just showing it to me before we started the podcast, and I was excited about it. Josh, tell what are some of the Kickstarter... What are some of the pledge, like, prizes or things you can do?
Well, it's just mainly, like, the beginning ones. It's, like, 10, 25. You just reserve your username. If you pledge, like, 95, you get a console and a controller plus reserving your own username. It's kind of like an early bird special, but they only had, like, what, 1,000 at that price, so they sold out almost instantly. But they still have tons. Like, you pledge $99 and you get the console controller, $30 more for the touchscreen controller, and with all that, I think it's really incredible.
I think you and I are going to do that, Josh.
I am definitely. But the estimated time of release is like March 2013, because they still have to create.
But that's quite earlier than I would have anticipated, because if they're just running the Kickstarter now...
Yeah, that's true.
But they have, what is it? They've 400% of what their goal was.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically. So they're,
yeah, they're at 4 million and they still have 27 days to go.
That's what's so amazing about Kickstarter. So,
yeah, that's the thing.
I love that. I just love that.
Yeah, so they're going to be able to double. Yeah, they just raised $3 million while I was watching that.
No, you didn't.
Not 3 million. 3,000.
Oh, okay. I was like, no, they didn't.
Just from like refreshing the page after like 10 minutes, they already raised $3,000.
Yeah. That's just insane. Like, I've seen some Kickstarter programs. Outside of video gaming, I am totally a like gamer nerd. Like, not like Dungeons and Dragons. I play Games Workshop. Any 40K fans love that game. And there's a company called Mini War Gaming. They're out of Canada, and they cover miniature gaming, and they have a store. They post some videos on YouTube, and they've actually been starting on their own game. Actually, I'll post the link in the description below. They've been starting on their own game, and it's called Dark Potential, and the guy that's really the main driving force behind it, his name's Matt, and he's really looking into... It's supposed to be like a post-apocalyptic game, but he wants it to be between like 2050, I think, and like, I don't know, 3,000-ish, somewhere in that area. But he doesn't want it to be super far in the future, like 40K, where, I mean, that's the 41st millennia, so that's quite a ways away. But anyways, what I was saying is they went on and they decided to create, not a Kickstarter, they created a, what's the other, Indiegogo, I think is the other one, and they needed $10,000 to create the miniatures, because miniature production is incredibly expensive. So they wanted they were hoping to raise $10,000 to create their first few sets of miniatures. People who donated were going to get a couple of minis, just some neat stuff, because they just wanted to get started, really starting producing the game. They've been working out a lot of the rule sets, a lot of the alpha rule sets and things like that. If this sounds interesting to you and you're a gamer like me, I'll post in the description below. Like I said, I'll post our website. It's miniwargaming.com, and they have their forum where they constantly do updates. The really cool thing I like about this is they're talking to their community. They're talking to the community about this game. So they're creating this board game, this war game, and they're posting videos on YouTube like, all right, this is what we're working on. This is what's been so far. We're stuck on this point. We're not sure if the rules should be 6 up or 5 up or whatever it should be. Help us out. What do you guys think? And they're actually taking in the community's input, which I think is really cool that they're inputting that into a game. So that Kickstarter ended. But anyways, I was saying they hit, I think, $40,000, and they were just going to make miniatures. No, they hit, I don't remember. But they hit some huge number, and they were just... They posted videos. They're like, I don't know what to do with this money. We wanted a few thousand to make some minis. This is amazing. Thank you so much. And that's what's so cool about this day and age of technology. Just the fact that you can do that. The fact that you can get out there and say, look, this is what I'm working on. I know there are people out there who would be interested.
Yeah.
Can you help me out? And if you do help me out, look at all this cool stuff I'm going to give you as a thank you. Besides the fact that I'll love you forever because you just gave me money to do my dream. Like, I think if I ever am, like, filthy rich and just have more money than I know what to do with, I'm just going to sit down at Kickstarter, and that's going to be, I'm going to be a major contributor on Kickstarter. I guarantee, like, because that, I think Kickstarter is the best. You've got small businesses, you've got movies, multimedia, just so many different things coming out of there. And yeah, there are some projects that go on and it's like, well, really? That's obviously not going to get funded. Where it's just kind of like, eh. But I think when you, when something pops out that's really cool, it goes huge. And that's what I find awesome. Just the fact that you can be like, hey, check out this, and you can post it on Facebook and your friend will be like, oh, that would be really cool to have. I saw it was a lighting system that you use. I think you can use, it's like a like 5-inch device, and it makes lighting for cinematographers, because lighting is always such a big issue, and lighting equipment is expensive and heavy and large, and they created these small devices that emit light that you can control from your iPhone, which was really cool. I thought that was great. I mean, I didn't really have a use for it at the time, but just stuff like that's really awesome. Yeah, so what else have we got?
Well, I just read that the Unreal Engine 4, like games that are powered by that engine, will be ported to the Wii U. That's like a rumor that's going around. And for those of you who don't see, the Unreal Engine is beautiful.
That's okay. Let's put it this way. Only there, you need a top of the line PC to run it.
Yeah, like I was reading that next gen. Like,
so the fact that the fact that there are even rumors about the Wii U being able to handle that gets me excited about the Wii U.
They were saying that next gen consoles will be able to handle it, and that current gen consoles won't even be able to handle the Unreal Engine.
That's just, oh my god, this, the stuff that's coming out, we're just, this time right now, like, this is actually something I'm talking about with Josh earlier. It's a perfect place segment into it, but we have, just with video games coming out, with video games that have come out this year, video games that are coming out, first, we've got some sequels to, or continuations of huge series. We have Black Ops 2 and Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3. These are all huge games that have huge followings that are coming out. But then, also all those games that came out, not indie games per se, but games that came out earlier that were single games. Not, they didn't come out as the third game in a series. They weren't Halo Reach. They weren't Modern Warfare 3. They were Borderlands and BioShock. Those games like that, we're going to be seeing so much more of this. We've got sequels to both of those games coming out. We've got it's Borderlands 2 and BioShock Infinite.
Yeah.
Borderlands 2 and BioShock Infinite. And this, right, like these next few weeks is the time to pre-order. I was just at Best Buy. I pre-ordered Halo 4 Limited Edition and I pre-ordered Assassin's Creed 3. And wow. First of all, the limited edition Halo 4 comes with a really sick lithogram. It's a poster. It's like a metallic poster type thing. It's really cool looking. You should Google it, or I'll try and find a picture and put it in the description below. But you've got Borderlands 2, Borderlands 2, BioShock Infinite, Darksiders 2, Assassin's Creed 3, Halo 4. All these are available for pre-order. And I'm walking through Best Buy and I was like, pre-order, pre-order, pre-order. All the end caps were like, pre-order this game, pre-order this game, pre-order this. It was just insane. And I was going through, and I'm looking at, because not only is it just a pre-order, but every single one of them is like, oh, pre-order this and you'll get this DLC for free. Pre-order this and you'll get this. Like I mean, a lot of games have pre-order perks, and I'm literally standing in the middle with all these pre-order signs around me, all these games that can be pre-ordered, and I'm just looking around, like looking at all the different, like all the perks. It was so, I was like, all right, I'm getting Halo 4. I had such a hard time narrowing it down. I was like, BioShock, Borderlands, Assassin's Creed 3. I actually called Josh. I called another one of my friends. Like, what do I get? So I finally decided on Assassin's Creed 3 just because I know it's an awesome game. I've been excited about that. I don't have as much experience with the earlier Assassin's Creed, but it looks like it's going to be really cool. So yeah, just pre-ordering games, now is the time, because it's just insane.
And you'll get tons of bonuses with that.
That's true.
I think there's something else I want to talk about. With the whole Unreal Engine 4, like that was announced, I'm excited because they're most likely going to come out with an Unreal Tournament 4, which I love that game. That was one of my favorite multiplayer games when I was growing up. The Unreal Tournaments, like you can get them on, like the older ones on GOG, good old games or whatever. And they're like $5, $5 to $10, and you just, they're free, DRM free, play them on any computer. And I thought it was amazing. Like I bought it, I got the CD when I was like fucking seven or eight, because my dad played it, and I started playing. I was hooked. Like, this is one of the greatest games I've ever played, and it's still a great game today. Hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, still play this game. And if an Unreal Tournament 4 with Unreal Engine 4 play,
and the thing with stuff like that is these games that maybe you haven't heard of, but once you start looking into them, they have huge audiences.
Yeah, it's like a cult classic, basically.
Exactly. All of a sudden, when that hits a console, or it hits that next big thing, when it hits that next piece of technology, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it's out on there, that is going to explode into the mainstream, like we've seen with just so many games recently.
Yeah, like, but the thing is, like, the Unreal Engine 4 looks amazing, and that would be spectacular for an Unreal Tournament game. It would give it so much more realism. Well, not really realism. It's more of like a sci-fi first-person shooter, but still.
It's bringing it to that next level in gaming that we're starting to really see.
More visual. It's like, yes, the gameplay's fun, but we're also looking at it visually. Like, is it visually stimulating? And from the teaser trailer of the Unreal Engine 4, I was blown away with what we're able to do now. Like, it looks spectacular.
Yeah, no, it's... And the thing with the visual, that's such a huge point in new games. And I think it's cool that developers are stepping back and they're going, okay, let's not put as many pixels into one square inch as we possibly can. Let's figure out different ways to do things. Minecraft is huge, and it's a pixelated game. But then again, you have games that are like Halo 4 looks gorgeous. Some of the trailers just look absolutely gorgeous. But then you have the movie that was voted Best Picture. It was last year. It was a black and white movie.
Oh, what was that? The Artist.
The Artist. Yeah. And the fact that we're starting to step back and go, wait a second.
We're trying to be more artistic.
We're trying to be more artistic with our games, which is just fantastic. I think it's really cool. But. So as I was saying, like this winter is the winter for video gaming. That not consoles, because we know no consoles are coming out this winter, but games in general. We have some huge games coming out this winter. We have Crysis 3 coming out right after Christmas.
Oh, that's going to be an amazing.
That's going to be.
You know, Crytek always comes out.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Well, just the fact that Crysis. Okay, when people talk about computer specs and video cards. Crysis 1 is always the go-to game
to compare computers with. Crysis 3 on like medium specs, you can play like any game that comes out.
Exactly.
Like it's just because, it requires so much power.
Yeah.
Just to run it.
Yeah.
Like I can't even run Crysis 2 on my desktop, and I could run Crysis 1 all right.
Actually, I have a friend. This is a funny story. I have a friend of mine who found a cheap download online of, or maybe it was free or something, I don't know. He found a download online of the second Elder Scrolls. So Skyrim is the fifth. He found a download for the second one.
Oh, Daggerfall?
Yes, Daggerfall.
I played that. That's a good game.
His computer was too good to run the game.
Wait, who was this?
It was Matt. And his computer, his laptop, which isn't even that high quality of a laptop.
No, you run it through DOSBox. He doesn't even know how to run it.
He didn't know what he was doing. And he was like, no, but it was something about,
like, my laptop is just as good as his laptop. And I played through the whole game of Daggerfall.
It was something. He was like, yeah, my computer's too good to run it. I was like, Matt, are you sure you're not just being stupid?
Because I could run it just fine. They have tutorials online. It even said when it showed that it was a free-to-play game, that you need DOSBox to run it because it only ran through the DOS operating system.
I'm sorry, Matt. He's a good kid. He really is. We're good friends, but it's fun to make fun of him.
Yeah. Because like, it was a learning curve to play that game because it's not like you're moving the mouse around to like move. You have to click, and you actually like you're slashing with your sword with your mouse. You're like going back and forth. It's actually
that's really cool. I didn't play it, but that sounds really awesome.
It is a really it's different gameplay than what I was used to.
So it's almost like what was the recent Zelda game? Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
And how the Wii took that and actually used your motions
like,
as the slicing of the sword and things like that. Yeah, so it's almost like that, except on the computer, where your mouse is the...
It is, but it was a different learning curve because I'm used to just like moving the mouse around, point, click.
Right, right click is shoot or whatever.
Yeah, left click's aim. But it was very different, and I love that part. It was like a new learning curve with the controls. That's my favorite part of a game when I'm playing on the PC or any console. It's just like learning the new controls because it's like, well, I'm putting the time to like thoroughly enjoy this game to its max. Or it's when I'm playing a good game and I'm learning the controls and I'm just like, this is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, also really cool. This is it's a DLC or it's the very first expansion to a game that came out in 2010 and got 2010 PC Game of the Year, and it's Sid Meier's Civilization V. The expansion is Gods and Kings, and I honestly thought like Civilization, awesome, some awesome games, really really awesome games, really cool. I'm just saying they're awesome games. If you haven't played them, go buy one at the store. Just buy like a used copy of Civilization 4 or 5. So much fun just to fool around with, and just get some gameplay in with. But now that they're, 2 years later, after the game's been voted Game of the Year, they're coming out with this expansion, and all of a sudden it is a top seller. It is the third top seller on Steam right now, it's just so cool. And it's just bringing in. Like gods and well, it's bringing in gods and kings. We also have Arma 2 Combined Operations. It's down to $24 from $30, and that is that wonderful game that allows you to play that awesome expansion, not that awesome mod that's in alpha right now that everyone's talking about called DayZ.
Such a fun game! I was playing it the other day. It's incredible. I love how you like if you die, you have to start over. So you take it very seriously.
Well, the thing that I like about it. Is you're completely immersed in this world. You really are that person. And at some point in the game, at whatever seriousness you're taking it, but at some point in the game, it starts to get psychological because you're seeing survivors, and it's like, oh great, someone I can team up with, and then or do like, I kill them and take their stuff, or are they going to kill me, and you start like.
It's very sick.
It's psychological.
Like, I read a story on the internet. It was a couple weeks ago. It was this guy was kid. The guy's character was kidnapped on DayZ. Like, the group of guys came up to him pointing guns at him and said, "You're our slave. Come with us or you die." And he was tweeting about it as it was going
on. That's mind-boggling.
I thought that was hilarious.
Fact that that's being implemented in games is just amazing because you really are. You're becoming.
And you're like
you are the character in the game, 100%, and you have to take care of
yourself.
You
don't want
to
die. You don't want to lose all that time.
Right, exactly. All that time that you've put into it. It's not. I mean, it's like Minecraft hardcore mode,
mixed with Diablo 3 hardcore mode.
Yeah,
that's basically what it is.
It's
more of like a Diablo 3 kind of thing, except not an RTS, but a third person shooter. Because you're searching for the items,
right. And I think, and it's so realistic too, because they make it like there are cars in the games, but you rarely ever see them actually working because they make it so challenging. You have to go through, you have to find all the parts. Plus, they make it so that the car parts take up a huge part of your inventory.
Yeah.
So it's not the same. A car part isn't the same size as a can of beans. So it's hard to get some of these really cool new things, and you really have to conserve your ammo. And when you do use your ammo and take that shot to kill that zombie or that civilian.
Yeah, you have to worry about the zombies.
You have to worry about all the other zombies that heard you coming to get you. So now you have to decide, do you want to use your knife? Do you want to use your gun? There are guns with silencers. You have to and I think that's what's really cool, is it's really submerging you into this zombie-ridden environment. And actually, something that's really funny, for those of you that don't know, on the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they actually have a zombie apocalypse plan. I don't know if it was an April Fool's joke a few years ago.
I hope it was.
But
that's
it's
kind of
so funny. You can I'm going to pull it up. But what were you saying, Josh?
Oh, I was saying, I was playing it, first time we're... I made, a new character after I died, and I basically ran through the city. I played, probably for a half hour, got to the city area, and I was just popping off shots, running through the city, and I found, this group, and I was still popping off shots, and I had a horde of zombies behind me, and I just plowed through that group, and the zombies just wiped out everyone. And this is before the group, the server chat was taken down, but I could see, I could read, you asshole, why the fuck did you do that? We're all dead. We lost 4 hours of work, blah, blah, blah. And I just thought that was the funniest thing ever. But I don't know. I kind of felt like an ass after that. They were we spent 4 or 5 hours on this, and I just kind of fucked it up. But the thing is, that's what people do. It's just, you'll end up that was after I spent a bunch of time.
He's like, okay. And, okay.
Oh, well, that was after I spent 5 hours on a character and then got sniped. As I was walking by the lighthouse, someone with a rifle shot me and I died. So then I was I'm just going to mess around for this next life. And then I just messed around and then I took it seriously again. Cause you kind of need that element of the game. You can take this life seriously, ultra seriously. You die, you're like, fuck this. And just goof around on this next life and then take the next one seriously again, just so you get that frustration out.
The thing is, DayZ is the ultimate troll game. It's the ultimate griefer game. If you like griefing, this is...
I hate griefing sometimes, but it's just necessary
griefers
at points.
Griefers are... It's not even a topic we should really get into, but let's be honest. This game is the griefer game. This is not team killing. This is not destroying a structure. This is ruining hours of gameplay and time and effort with one guy running around with a pistol going berserk, not caring if he alerts all the zombies. I don't know. I don't know. It's you can totally screw people in this game. And the draw distance is huge. Huge draw distance. Huge expansive world. Really cool stuff. And it's only in the alpha versions. Only in the alpha version right now. So I can't imagine what this mod's going to be like when it comes out for beta. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. And it's funny because people are buying Armor 2 for DayZ. And I don't know.
I think it's worth it.
I would. No, exactly. Yeah, no. That's and is DayZ made by the same?
No, it's made by an a group of people that were let's make an ultra real zombie game.
So, I think that's here's a question for you guys. If you were a game developer or a songwriter or something and you made a video or a song or a game and someone came out with a mod or a remix or something of the same thing that was a little bit different, and that did better than your original, how would that make you feel?
Would you feel offended?
Right.
Would you feel I inspired these people to do this?
You look at electronic music and you have so many remixes. You have a song that comes out and then you get 5 different remixes of the song and you always hear about, did you hear about so-and-so XYZ remix? And it's that's... And then a lot of times you go and you're like, wow, this is better than the original. I've never been in that situation, so I don't know how I'd feel. I create a song that doesn't really go anywhere, and then someone, or gets a following, and then someone creates a remix to make it hit the mainstream. With a game, with mods for games. I mean, DayZ is bringing, people are buying Armor 2 to play DayZ. So should the people at Armor 2 be like, awesome, people are buying our game, who cares if they're not playing it? Or should they be like, oh, crap, people would rather buy our game just to use it for this other game than play still, our game?
But that's still getting revenue to the developer.
Right, exactly. I mean, it still gets revenue to the developer, but I don't know. Like, with remixes, I guess you... I mean, obviously, you'd have to work out something with that artist, but...
Yeah, or you can just remix it for the hell of it.
I don't know. Just some interesting stuff. Oh, like, wow, look at this. Left 4 Dead 2 is down to $9. $10.
Well, it's going to probably get even lower with the Steam Summer Camp sale. It's eventually going to hit us.
Eventually.
But I was looking more into...
Before we continue, I found the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, Emergency Preparedness and Response, Social Media, Preparedness 101, Zombie Apocalypse. They have posters that you can put up. So, get a kit, make a plan, be prepared. And the picture is this girl with like broken fingernails and like a dirty face, like looking over, it looks like a carpet or something. And then there are these posters that you could get to post in like, I was looking at it the other day and it was, you could get a poster and it asked what you were using it for. So it asked like, are you going to be putting it up in a town, in a business, in an elementary school?
I think that's
like
hilarious.
Literally one of them was like grade school. And like the fact that the government is able to do stuff like this, that's funny to me. I think that's funny to me. And I don't know. It's just neat. It's really neat. And there's this PDF that you can download that's like how to prepare for a zombie apocalypse, what to do when it comes.
Yeah, that's actually pretty funny.
That's really good. Actually, I saw a comment on a YouTube video about some guys that were watching a Minecraft Let's Play, and some guys were talking about... That's how I found this. Some guys were talking about their zombie apocalypse plans, and one guy posted, like, are you guys serious? A zombie apocalypse? Come on, you're being ridiculous. And then the uploader of the video commented on the video, and he said, yeah, sure, government agent. And then he left it in that, and he had... And his uploader comment became one of the top comments, which I just think that's really funny. But
well, I was looking
So prepare for your zombie apocalypse because you never know when it's going to hit.
I was looking more at like games that are powered by the Unreal Engine, and I was looking... There are a lot of mobile platforms that are using the Unreal Engine. Like, there's Infinity Blade on the iPhone and Dungeon Defender for Androids. But we also have like popular titles like Mass Effect 3 that runs the engine. Batman Arkham City, we got Gears of War and Borderlands. Those are all going to all run the Unreal Engine 3. So I want to see those like end up eventually getting ported to the Unreal Engine 4 and see those like look beautiful. Like that'll eventually happen.
Oh,
like
definitely.
People will make mods that'll go with the Unreal Engine 4, because we've also got like PS Vita titles like Mortal Kombat and Doctor Who the Eternity Clock. Like those all run the engine on like a portable system, so those games will look good on there. We also have like Windows titles, like we have Blacklight Retribution, that's a great game, I've played that demo, and Blade and Souls and Marvel Heroes, those are all extremely good games, and they run they're running on a great engine. Like I love that. Like if you look at all those games, they all look good.
Yeah, like, oh definitely, yeah. I mean, it's just what we're coming into for video games. Like I started to say, this winter is the winter of games. You've got just so many huge titles coming out and so many new titles that look awesome, so many sequels, so many... We're starting another trilogy for Halo. We've got another Black Ops. We've got these big games that came out that we're getting sequels to. This winter is going to be huge for gaming. And especially when winter comes around, the sales are just going to... When Christmas time comes, the sales are going to be huge. It's too bad Crysis couldn't come out before Christmas. It's too bad that it's just after. But you know what?
Well,
it's still going to get huge amounts of sales.
They're probably going to update that announcement or the release date to be before Christmas so they get all those pre-Christmas sales.
Or people are just going to pre-order Crysis as like a Christmas present.
That is true.
But it's Crysis 3 is going to be huge.
Like I doubt they're going to miss out on the pre-Christmas sales.
Right, and it's crazy because it's just... there's so many huge, I mean, you, like one after another. And I'm almost glad Crysis 3 is a little bit far behind, because we're just going to be swamped with these games. And it's not like, I'm like, oh, I got to get through this game so I can talk about it. It's like, holy crap, this game's amazing. I want to play it. Not because this is what we're doing. It's because these games that are coming out are awesome. So then It's like, okay, so this year we've had we've seen Borderlands and BioShock. Really cool games, single games that came out, became huge. And that's what I think we're going to see next year. Not necessarily the complete...
Well, we also saw the same thing with Mass Effect.
Right, exactly. And I don't think we're going to be seeing... And I think we're going to start to see a slow decrease in the big series. I mean, Halo just started a new trilogy, so obviously they're going to be around for a little while.
Well, I think 343 is going to like try to keep it up with like a game every
exactly.
year.
But the fact that it's been changed to 343 is pretty cool. But, like, honestly, my honest opinion, I think we're going to start seeing a decline in COD. I really do. And we've actually, started seeing it. Because if you start looking, on games, there's a large community that is not COD fans. There really is.
Well, they're looking
for something new. Because every year they come out with a game.
Same thing.
It's the same thing. Well, and actually, a friend of mine was telling me, he says, all right, he doesn't buy COD. He plays Halo. His friends always just rip on him for it, because he's like, you don't play COD. What the heck? He's like, he put it this way to me, which I thought was brilliant. He's like, I pay $60 a year for Xbox Live. Okay, yeah. And then you want me to pay $60 a year for COD because a new one comes out each year. Okay, yeah. So now I'm spending $120 a year plus any other games I want to get. So, like, my annual cost for playing an Xbox becomes $120 a year if I want to play COD.
Well, that's why I kind of feel good that I bought a PS3. I don't have to pay that extra cost for online.
But it's still the fact, like, it's a large sum
just to play with your friends.
Right, exactly. And it's hard to...
Like, I know you can do party chat and you can play your own game and still chat with your friends while they're in different games.
You can do that but you can do that with the Xbox.
That's what I was saying. That's what you do with the Xbox.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to buy Call of Duty, but you're missing out on that factor of actually playing a game with your friends.
Right. But the thing is, there are still a lot of games you can play with your friends. Call of Duty has just been like, that's the main thing. And one of the reasons that one of the big things is Minecraft, the Xbox Live Arcade version. It passed. Was it? I think it was Black Ops. It passed
being like the most played
being
game
the on most X- played game on
Xbox Live.
Xbox Live,
yeah.
And the fact that Minecraft, an arcade game,
beat
a COD title. So honestly, I think we're gonna start seeing a little bit of a decline with some of those huge games.
People are seeing like these indie titles like Minecraft becoming more popular, and they're like, well, I've never really looked at the indie titles, but now I am because they're amazing.
I was shown Minecraft in a very early version from a friend. This was back when it was $10, I think. Back when Minecraft was $10 to download.
Yeah, like last year. That's when I first.
I was shown Minecraft by a friend, and I was like, "Okay, you build blocks." I put 5 or 10 minutes into it. I was like, "Okay, this is fun."
Yeah, like
Feel like paying the money for it. It's fun. I enjoy it. I'm not going to smash it. This looks like a really fun game, but I'm just not interested in paying the money for it. And now it's just with some new updates, and it's huge. Minecraft, like, there's no doubting it. Every gaming channel on YouTube, almost every single gaming channel on YouTube, has some sort of Minecraft content.
Yeah, like, I was first shown it last year, and I was like, well, it's just creative. It's not really that great. But then when I first started playing Survival a couple, like, 8 or 9 months ago, I was like, I'm hooked. This game is amazing.
And, like, I could just list off. Okay, we have Toby Turner, Toboscus, Minecrafted, Lepter 1. These are all huge, huge channels with thousands and thousands of subscribers that post
millions,
a lot.
Almost.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Toby Turner, he's the biggest out of them. And
well, no, we got the Media Cows, we got Rooster Teeth. Well, Rooster Teeth
well,
just
no, I'm talking about
did.
Minecraft ones. Right, like Rooster Teeth has been doing, they're on their sixth part for a Minecraft Let's Play.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing on one of the very first videos when they did a Minecraft Let's Play, they said, make this a weekly video. Some of the top comments were, make this weekly video. And
because it was just fun to see Gavin just rip.
Well, it was fun to see Gavin burn down people's houses, and
that was fun.
Yeah. So for those of you who have seen Things to Do in Minecraft, Josh and I were playing, and we're playing on my Xbox, and we're playing Minecraft, and he starts demining me.
Yeah, I got the idea from them.
And I turn around, I'm like, Josh,
well,
don't do that. Don't be Gavin.
I only got three blocks deep, and then he had a diamond pick.
Yeah, I had a diamond pick, so I was just like plowing through them, trying to catch back up. And then he started using gravel, so it's falling down on top of me while I'm trying to dig it out. I was like, screw you,
motherfucker. And he fixed it in like 2 seconds, and I was like, you just ruined it.
The other day, my brother and I, we were kind of creating like a...
Oh, you and your brother are actually getting along?
Oh, yeah, no, it's a first, I know. We were kind of creating sort of like something, like a town sort of thing. We were creating like a shop, and we'd been playing for like an hour and a half. We had the autosave on, and I was like, this isn't my account. I think this is going to be really funny. I ran around with flint and steel and just boom, everything that we'd been working on. And
You should have dug down and found a bucket of lava.
And he went to quit out. And I was like, I would say just save and quit. Quit without save, not quit with save. And he's like, why? I was like, because you just got pissed at me for burning everything down that we worked on. He's like, oh, good point. So, yeah. But what I was saying was these games that are coming out or have come out, I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of those. Because, I mean, I just keep going back to Borderlands and BioShock, which were single games that came out that were kind of...
They were
off the mainstream. They were a different look at modern gaming, and they hit the market huge. And I think next year is what we're really going to see. I think in the next couple years, 2013, 2014, we're going to start seeing those big game companies, well, not companies, but big game titles that we've been seeing start to trickle down a little bit, and a lot of these single game,
making the games.
Right.
So they're more quality than trying to like rush it out like a game every year and a half, game every year.
Right, and we're going to start seeing a couple more of those burst, like a single game that came out that does amazing and maybe does a sequel or a third game to the series, but no more than that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're really going to start to see is really new games where you're not buying, it's like, oh, do I want to buy the sequel to the game? It looks the same as the first one, but it's got these new things. Is it worth $60? It's like,
that's what people said with Left 4 Dead 2. They were saying like, well, there's nothing really different. It should just be an added DLC to Left 4 Dead 1. But it did add better graphics.
Right, and the thing is, there was Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. That company's not known for putting in thirds to games.
They can't really count to three, obviously.
like listing off the games, they're just not... I was looking at it the other day. I found a list of games that they'd only done... The CEO can't count to three. That's simply...
Yeah.
They do ones and twos of games, and I think that...
Yeah, because just...
As annoying as it can be, because it's like Left 4 Dead 2, such an amazing game. A Left 4 Dead 3 would be awesome.
Like, let's look at like Half-Life, because they... Instead of doing Half-Life 3, they did Half-Life 1, 2... Episode 1 and Episode 2 of Half-Life 2. And that was like the sequel to Half-Life 2. And I was like, well, why the fuck did they not just do a 3 and a 4? It was just like more of a waste of like us thinking like, oh, next is Half-Life 3. Yeah. But they're just like keeping us anticipating Half-Life 3.
And the thing is, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more single 2-series and 3-series games come out where we're going to be getting these just new features. And so then we move on to, so what are we going to be seeing in consoles? So obviously we've got this Oya that Josh was telling us about. When are we going to see an Xbox? What are they going to call it? Are they going to call it 720? That's what everyone's assuming.
I hope it's not 720. I just want to call it the Xbox 3.
Xbox? Or just
Xbox.
Like, no, because then you have the original Xbox.
No, but the thing is, that's what they did with the iPad. They had the iPad, the iPad 2, and then they just had iPad. They could do like what Apple did and just make it the name. I think just calling it Xbox would be more elegant than Xbox 720. Hell yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever or they call Xbox. It, we're gonna see a third Xbox console and a fourth PlayStation console. They're probably going to be, well, actually, we're positive they're going to be coming around the same time. Whether they're announced, they're going to be announced at E3, obviously. Whether they're announced this year, this upcoming year, 2013, or whether they're announced 2014. Maybe we see a teaser 2013 and they're released, because they're probably going to be released holiday season 2013, 2014. Yeah. So my guesses are, it's been 5 years since the last Xbox.
They're going to tease it next E3, then fully debut it in 2014.
Right, exactly. And we're going to see it hit markets holiday or fall holiday 2014. That's when I'm anticipating the next game system. But then we think about game system. We have the PS Vita that's recently come out.
I want to buy one of those.
A handheld system that looks really awesome, but I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think it got the coverage it really deserved. Not like media coverage, but I don't think it sold as well as it really should have.
And no, it didn't, because it was, people thought like, well, it's portable and it's Sony, it's a Sony system, and you aren't going to have many Xbox owners be like, well, this is a cool thing, but it's Sony, so I'm not going to buy into it.
Right, and I think, but it kind of brings an odd thought to what's coming next with consoles, because you have Microsoft, who doesn't have a handheld device.
Well,
but you have, with this PS Vita, there are certain games where you can play them on your TV and then continue them on your own. So
What Microsoft has is the Windows Phone, but you can play Xbox Live Arcade games that are for the Windows Phone.
Right.
So that technically is a Microsoft handheld.
Yeah, really, that's like saying that Apple's a gaming industry because they have iPads and iPhones.
Well, no.
Well, hey, look at this.
But the thing is, it's their mobile market, that it's on a mobile platform. I'm not saying that Apple is a mobile device, but that's Windows. Like, you're playing Xbox Live, it affects your gamer tag.
Yeah. But the thing is, you can take your sports game and continue it on your PS Vita from your PlayStation 3.
But the thing
3.
Is, you need a 3G connection if you're actually going somewhere, or
a straight
Wi-Fi connection.
The thing is that the fact that you can do that
is
pretty incredible, right? Exactly. But then you kind of think, all right, well, lately we've been seeing a die down in handheld systems. I mean, you had the Game Boy, the Game Boy Advance, the first DS. Those were huge systems. Even the DS Lite that came out, they did really well. But now we're starting to see, like, with Nintendo, the new 3DSs are doing
well. They had a when the 3DSs first came out, it was like $250.
Right. First of all, they were super expensive.
Yeah.
For a Nintendo game system. It kind of gives you that question. Are we seeing a decline in handheld gaming, or is this new Vita just the very first pin on the board that's going to
be
open up
top of the line
handheld. Be top of the line handheld gaming, which I think is really, it's a really interesting question.
Well, I'm still thinking about buying a 3DS, honestly, because I believe the next Pokemon systems game after Black and White 2 is going to be a 3DS game. And then we also
is going to be after Black and White 2?
I honestly, they can't make any more regions. Technically, there's no world big enough for, like, after, like, the Unova region, we have the Hoenn, Sinnoh, Kanto, Johto. That's like five continents. Really, the planet's not that big.
I think
I think they should do a remake of the Hoenn region, like a 3DS region.
I would like to see them go back and do a remade, like, Red, Yellow. I'd like to see those re-released. Kind of like they did with Fire Red and Leaf Green,
I want to see them in their original, like, I want to have, like, the original Fire, the original Red, Blue, Yellow, released on, like, the 3DS market with multiplayer support.
Right, and just with a couple new, like, adding running shoes in some of the early games.
No, they had running shoes in Red. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
Yes,
maybe.
Definitely, because I was playing Red and I have running shoes.
I did not know that. Okay, we're just adding more colors, so we don't have that yellow tan palette.
Well, that gives, like, the nostalgic feel to it. Like,
oh, sure. But I think Like
what they did with like Halo CE Anniversary. Like you had the updated graphics, right, but you also had the original Halo.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Just a remastered version. That would be an update would be cool. So, the questions we have. All right, so games. My predictions, we're going to be seeing a lot more Bioland, BorderShock 2, BorderShock 2, Bioland, and BorderShock.
All right, so BioShock Infinite and Borderlands 2.
Right. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more games like that where they come out. We're going to see like one sequel maybe, and then they're going to be huge, and then we're going to continue playing them, but we're also going to be seeing new games come out.
Maybe we'll see like a game in the same universe, different name. It's just got the same. It's
kind of like how Prometheus was to Alien. Alien was this movie that came out, and Prometheus was a prequel. But the prequel...
Kind of.
See, but that's the thing. The prequel...
It was set in the same universe.
Universe, but different story. So they could do as much as they wanted.
Yeah.
With the characters.
With like the Marvel universe. Like you have different Marvel storylines, but they're all in the Marvel universe.
Right. Like with the Avengers, and you've got them all coming together. But then you have the Captain America movie. You have Iron Man, Iron Man 2. You've got all these, exactly like that.
Yeah.
So we have these games that are going to be coming out, which that's what I'm anticipating and expecting. Then we have, all right, what's the new console's going to have? Is the Xbox going to take on what the PlayStation has? Is Sony going to let them use Blu-ray in the Xbox? What's going to be next after that?
Well, actually, I was looking up that their Xbox can use Blu-ray. They can't infringe on the patent that Sony and Philips and Samsung have on Blu-ray drives.
Gotcha. So, is Xbox going to copy Sony and add that Blu-ray player? We've heard talk about Xbox getting a internet browser, which really has been needed for a long time. The fact that you could browse the internet on the Wii and you can't do it on your Xbox.
Yeah, the Wii, PS3. You could go on YouTube, Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you've got YouTube, you have Netflix, but they're apps. Apps,
and they're available recently.
Exactly. Like, so that's YouTube kind of interesting how Microsoft is so behind in their internet, bringing in internet to their video game world. And that's also interesting, the fact that internet's becoming a role in games.
Well, it kind of needs to be. Internet's changed so much just in our lifetimes.
Right. Oh, exactly.
Like, games have changed dramatically from when I was born, 95, to today.
Oh, like, yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, Turner, there's a floppy disk on the floor. Have you heard that song?
No.
All right, I'm going to put a link to that in the description below. It's really funny. But like the fact that games used to be on floppy disks, and now
it would take up like 5 floppy disks. That's the funny part.
Yeah, and now we can stream
from the internet.
We can download like without no hardware, nothing, and it's there. Yeah. And we're playing it on the computer right there.
I just think it's all the technological advances we've made are just incredible.
Well, just in the past 10 years, going from that pixelated, slow, this is lower than, like, it's like 240p, except like
not
because it's so much worse, to the
1080p,
just the amazing quality that we have today. It just blows me away.
So I think we're running a little long.
Well, we actually are running a little long, but I guess that's kind of what my main thing is. Like, what?
So where do you want to go for lunch?
I want Chinese food.
I kind of want Chinese food too.
I think we're gonna do that.
I think we should go pick up my paycheck first.
Probably a good idea. But all right, so we're gonna end this note on a what's coming. What are your predictions for video games, game wise, console wise? Are we gonna see more handheld games, less handheld games? Where are they going? What do you think you're gonna see on the new Xbox and PlayStation? What do you think is gonna be the next big game titles that are coming out? Are they gonna be more COD, more Halo, more Assassin's Creed, or are they gonna be new games just like Borderlands did and BioShock did? What are your predictions for what we're seeing? Because I think,
and we want to hear from you.
Yeah, we want to hear from you. So please,
we want good questions.
Please post in the comment section below, video response
comments or email
message
us.
Or email us at bludotpro@gmail.com.
Yeah, basically emails questions. We'll answer them on the podcast if we can, and that'd just be nice to hear from the audience.
Yeah, no,
I'll post links to the various stuff we've talked about in our link dump. You'll hopefully be able to download this on iTunes and
at some point, yeah.
Soon, very soon. And possibly, I think you can do podcasts on the Android market.
Yep, I'm also going to post a link in the description below because I know a lot of people can't just sit in front of their computer for an hour listening to a podcast. So I'll post a link in the description below on a website where you can download YouTube videos. That's right. We are promoting using a website to download our video.
Yay.
Put it on your phone, on your tablet, on your MP3 player.
It would just be easier to use iTunes though, because they have a podcast
exactly.
app.
Well, we're gonna get on iTunes.
All right. Well, bye.
All right. Thank you. This has been the Dotcast with Brian
and Josh.
And we will see you next week.
Bye.